The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining me today. On the line with me today, John Evans from FCA at UCF. That's a lot of acronyms right there. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes at the University of Central Florida, also a pastor at Action Church. John, you wear a lot of hats. Welcome to my program.
Well, for listeners that may have ever been to a UCF sporting event, they would literally know that I wear a number of hats. I always wear a hat to UCF sporting events. So it's just funny that you would put that frame on it.
Well, I wasn't thinking of that. I'm just thinking of how busy your life is. And, you know, I really enjoyed the one night I got to spend not only with you, but your entire family was a part of that event. It was like a welcome event for people who were getting to know the ministry of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, something that I love, and got to meet Dr. Jeff Duke that night as well, and that was also
that guy's a rock star.
He is amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, incredible mentor and just a great brother that I get to serve with out at UCF and beyond. So pretty awesome.
Well, tell me about yourself, John. How did you come to know the Lord?
Yeah, so grew up in North Carolina. Obviously, we're here in Orlando now, but I grew up in North Carolina. My parents were divorced before I was two, so really have no concept of what it's like to have a mom and dad in the same place at the same time. And so now, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but now to serve as family pastor at such a significant life-giving church as Action is just, man, only God can orchestrate something like that. But I grew up, my mom doing anything and everything that she could to provide for me and my older sister, working two and three jobs. I was an athlete, and so it makes sense now that I serve with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Ultimately played collegiate baseball and played everything growing up, but really baseball and the success that I experienced on the field was as a young guy that didn't have any concept of God's plan and purpose. Not growing up in a Christian home, really felt like my value to the world was the fact that I could run pretty fast and I could catch a ball and I could hit a ball, and got some affirmation and acclaim in and through that. And so that felt really good until baseball was no longer a part of my life. And then, as a 20-year-old college dropout, just wondering what was my purpose. I dropped out of college, as I said, and moved back home. And I called my mom the first weekend that I was back home, and I said, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to go to church tomorrow." And honestly, it was a bit of a desperation move, a Hail Mary in the sports term, and just completely unsettled and unfulfilled in everything that you would think would fulfill a 20-year-old. And I said, man, there's got to be more to life than this. And so really, really with the motivation to go find a good, clean girl, a good, healthy relationship with a female, that's really what drove me to church. And I, long story short, I tell people that I went there to find a girl, and God decided to do major work in my life. And so January 23rd, 1994, in Burlington, North Carolina, a traveling evangelist was talking about wheat or tares, and he was talking about how everybody looks the same and acts the same and talks the same, but we are not all the same internally. And some of us know love and know grace and understand redemption, and some of us really have never experienced that. And as surely, Mike, as I'm talking to you right now, I realized that I needed God's grace and His forgiveness. And so that day I came forward, and I have regretted a great many decisions that I have made in my life, but I have never once regretted being the beneficiary of grace. And so, man, there's so much more to that story. Obviously, that was North Carolina, and we're now in Orlando, but I'm sure we'll get to some of that here in the next little bit.
You know, you mentioned something that I think is so true, and almost every student athlete experiences this at some point, and that is their identity can easily get wrapped up in what they do, in their athletic ability, and yep. that can actually take a person over. And so for some people, they ride that a long way, all the way to the pros and yep. and beyond, but it's never a healthy thing to have your identity be what you do, is it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. In fact, you know, it not only does it apply obviously and literally statistically to athletes, but your listeners that you know, work in the insurance industry, people that have sales jobs, like, we're always measuring ourselves on our statistics. What's really interesting, being on a college campus, a major Division I campus at UCF, every single fall, and you can fill in the blank of whatever sport your respective listeners would be passionate about. The first sport that I think of in the fall is men's and women's soccer, because they usually start even before football. And every year you'll have guys and ladies that come in as freshmen, and whatever program they've come from, they've been all conference, all state, you know, all region. They've led their conference in scoring, or they've led their conference in goals against as a goalie, you know, and now they're not even able to get onto the field. They're not even able to get onto the pitch. And so all the affirmation came from my on-field productivity. And now I'm not even contributing. And so what worth do I have? It's a conversation that we have every single year, and rightfully so. Typically, those guys and ladies and all of us, we tend to surround ourselves with people that want to kind of build us up a little bit. And that's important, and that's valuable. I mean, even for me, my love language is words of affirmation. So I get that, but lots of times that's done really at the expense of us truly understanding what our worth and our value is. Mm-hmm. And so we talk all the time with our student athletes that, if God has extended to you the ability to run and jump and pass and defend and play and vision and strength and power and all of that, then it's not the sport that defines you. It's really the sport that provides the platform for God to really get the most glory in and through your life. And sometimes it takes a couple of semesters for that light switch to go on. But when it goes on, it's a really powerful thing.
Now, he's not from UCF, he's from UF, but Tim Tebow seems to yep. embody exactly what you're talking about. And if there was ever an individual that used their position, used their gifting as a platform, I think of him, and he does a good job at that, doesn't he?
No, yeah, I absolutely agree. I've had the privilege of spending some time with Tim on a few different occasions, and to his credit, and a lot of people outside of the faith, even honestly, some people in the faith have tried to over the years poke holes at, can it really be like, this is really who he is? And I have never once seen or heard him do anything to discredit the legitimacy of his faith and really his heart to honor God with every bit of who he is. And so the reason why he's got such a long-standing, well-respected platform is because he truly understands that he no longer belongs to himself. And when he took the field for the Gators, he was playing for God's glory. And now when he takes the diamond for the New York Mets organization, he's out there. And even a lot of people ridicule him for pursuing playing baseball at what would be considered an advanced age for a prospect. But mm-hmm. he said, man, I've got this passion on my heart, and I've got an opportunity to honor God. Why would I not pursue that? Lots of times we talk ourselves out of things, and we allow other people to put, kind of put us into a box. But as you well know, God is much bigger than that. And so I would never want to get in God's way. I'll tell you that.
And I tell you, knowing him, I met him very we sat at the same table, let's just put it that way, at an event, at an FCA event, and he's yep. very focused. He's one of the most talented, obviously gifted leaders that football in collegiate level has ever seen. But yep. but what I love about everything that I've ever heard him say, everything that I've ever watched him do, is that that is not what he lives for. And if there could be a life lesson that all young athletes could pick up from him, it would be the fact that he, while he's gifted and while he's good at it and he's gone a long way at it, Heisman winner and all that, what really gives him passion is the Lord and serving in the purposes of the kingdom of God. And that's something to follow. That's something to emulate.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Some of your listeners may be aware that that Tim champions a really amazing event that may be on the annual calendars of the churches that some of your listeners attend. It's a prom for guys and ladies that are special needs. And what's really amazing is no one that's connected to that organization or even those respective events, they might be enamored with who Tim is from a public persona standpoint, but he really has nothing to gain on that side. It really is just the selfless heart to love and value people and to honor God, really in a population that that tends to be set aside quite often because people are just uncomfortable. And so, yeah, I mean, I agree. Absolutely. He's a rock star for God's glory for sure.
Now, we had an opportunity that night when I was out at UCF, when I first met you, a young lady that spoke, and it's a young lady that I know your family, very special to your entire family, Mac Thompson, was on my program shortly thereafter. And she's a young lady that all of the things we've talked about so far apply to her, including being injured and having that that season, if you will, of her life kind of cut short. But she has a powerful testimony for God as a result.
Yep, absolutely. Mac is, man, I love that girl. Super, super precious lady, and our kids just love every opportunity we get to hang out with her. Obviously, we met her in and through UCF women's soccer, and as you kind of alluded to, and I know this would have been extensive element of her interview, tore her ACL, and so now now her worth in the world's eyes is kind of stripped away, but she showed incredible perseverance. She showed incredible perseverance in working her way back to being cleared, and then within a week of being cleared, re-injured and re-tore her ACL. What's really fascinating is Mac went to her coach. I can't recall if this was in the interview or not. Went to her coach and said, "Coach, I really can't make sense of, like, man, I've worked so hard to get back, and now I'm injured again, and I just don't know what to do." And the response from the coach was, "Well, Mac, you're a young woman of faith. So what is God telling you to do?" And man, like when you've really been willing, not your own testimony, but God's glory, not your own. It's not your reputation that's at stake. It's God's reputation that's at stake. When you've really been willing to kind of put that out there, it's amazing how people note that. And so, Mac is an awesome, awesome, awesome lady. And she said, "Man, I'm not going to grow weary in doing what is good, but, she's going to keep persevering at the proper time. God will bring the reward." And she's really evidence of just loving God and persevering, even when the majority of how the world would have seen you worthwise is no longer kind of the description of who you are.
That is really one of the beautiful benefits of knowing the Lord when you're an athlete. And not that I would be able to, I'm not much of an athlete to speak from experience.
I know you got skills.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah, those things they're like my hair. They waved goodbye.
I feel that.
All right. Yeah, that's true. That would be true. We can both relate a little bit to that. But at any rate, the beautiful thing that when one knows the Lord and is confident of his presence and his value, and what we get in that assurance is that he is our all in all, and he gives us every bit of worth that we need, every bit of confidence. And it's so delightful to see that play out in the lives of somebody like Mac, somebody like Tim, somebody like you, who were an athlete yep. yourself. And, you know, sometimes young guys like yourself, they go ahead and they stretch that career and that gifting lasts all the way into the majors and beyond. But for most people, I love that one commercial that's on that used to be on television that yep. most collegiate athletes never make it to the pros, but they have the experience of a lifetime doing it in college. And
yeah,
so
they're going to go pro in something. It's just mm-hmm. highly unlikely that it's going to be sports.
But that's one thing that we can carry all the way through our entire life, not just in those youthful years, our relationship with God. And you get to work with people both at the church and at Fellowship of Christian Athletes in helping them see that very important thing. And that is a real privilege, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an absolute joy, even in Mac's instance, and there are a number of stories that I could share. But I think probably, again, most of your listeners would be aware that a Division I athlete, the expectations are unbelievable. It really is like a full-time job in terms of the commitment to their credit. You know, most of those guys and ladies are up at, you know, six, and they might be at the training table for breakfast, and then they've got morning workouts or a lift, and then class or study hall, and then practice, and then more team meetings. I mean, it's a really, really amazing in terms of what that daily and weekly itinerary is. Well, in Mac's case, when she was injured, and then again injured a second time, she found herself instantly with a ton of free time that she would have been committed to practices, which she couldn't participate in, et cetera. And really what she found herself doing is asking God, how can I redeem this free time that has kind of suddenly been presented to me? And so she began serving and serving pretty extensively in our kids ministry at our Action Oviedo location, and really just kind of not seeing birthed, but really seeing the flourishing of her heart for kids and loving and serving families. And so, you know, all things do work together for the good of those who love God and been called according to his purpose. And so out of one of the great hurts, you know, being injured and being kind of forced to the sideline, she really saw a new and really long-term passion. God brought that to the surface. It's pretty amazing.
It's a great story. Mac Thompson from that's who she is. She is now, I guess, already graduated, right?
Yeah, she's an old lady now.
Already past her time at UCF, but her life is just beginning. I am talking to John Evans. John Evans is a pastor at Action Church, also the leader of the Central Florida Fellowship of Christian Athletes. We're going to be back with John coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. On the line today with John Evans. John is with Action Church. We'll be hearing about that church and his involvement and the many outreaches. By the way, your website on that thing is quite extensive. You have a bunch of people, and that must be quite an organization, several campuses around the area, so that's pretty exciting. What I'd like to hear right now is the night that I got to see you, and that does seem like 3 years ago now, John.
Yeah, it seems like a decade ago, even though it was back in the fall. Few things have changed in our world since then.
I've mentioned this a couple times on the air, but at the end of April, one of my friends on Facebook said, I'm really glad April's over. It was a terribly long year.
And yeah, it was rough.
It was rough, and it felt every bit of a year. But that night, as I mentioned this in segment one, your entire family was serving, and it was really enjoyable for me. I've spent 36 years in full-time ministry, love families, and one thing, John, just to commend you and your family, one thing that you've been able to do is to not only inspire other people that you work with, but you've also done that with your kids, and they were serving with joy. Tell me how that happened.
Well, Mike, I mean, it's very gracious of you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Again, as I alluded to in the opening segment, to not grow up in a Christian home. And to her credit, my mom as a single mom was doing anything and everything that she could to provide for us, but to now be the husband to my bride, Catherine, of 23 years. And so our listeners are aware we've got five kids, 18, 17, 15, 12, and 10. That's the starting five from a sports standpoint. That's the starting five. And really it's such a privilege. We joke that most of the time in the FCA world, you've got if the husband is the staffer, or if the wife is the staffer, the joke is that it's a two for one because his or her respective spouse would also kind of be a at least a volunteer staffer. What we joke about is that Central Florida FCA is getting a 7-for-1 deal because my wife and I encourage the why behind the what in everything with our kids, and we encourage them. There is no junior Holy Spirit. If you've got it, you've got it, and God wants greatly to be honored and lifted up through the life of a 10-year-old little girl, just as much as he does through Tim Tebow, for that matter. Now, mm-hmm. the platforms would obviously be extensively different, but the heart is the same, and so we've really just tried to cultivate in our kids the value of being others-centered, and they find just great joy in giving their lives away for God's glory. And so whether it's serving in and through Fellowship of Christian Athletes at UCF and across Central Florida, or whether it's serving with kids ministry and student ministry in and through Action Church, they're all in.
Now, you know, you mentioned the story of Tim Tebow's platform being larger, but when I think of the illustration of the widow's mite and she was giving and being watched by the Lord, and she gave out of her very essence, and yep. The Lord said in that instance that she had done more than you all, and of course the rest, meaning those that had much and they were taking great pride and their platforms were big, but this person, so in that regard, when a young person like your kids at 10 are as actively involved, I just sense that God would be equating that to the greatest of serving, and it's wonderful. And it, for me, just being an outsider, just again to commend you and your family, you and your wife, you've done an outstanding job because they were there, they were attentive, they were pleasant, they were respectful, they were joyful. They looked like they were having the time of their life.
And man, that's awesome. Thank you.
Well, I walked out of there that night thinking, I've got to get to know this guy a little bit better because he's doing a lot of great things. And it's really clear that you are much loved at UCF as well as at Action Church. So how did you get in? You're certainly welcome. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. How did you get involved originally in terms of leading FCA? As an athlete, I can understand why you were a part or how you were involved, let's say, in a local huddle. But how did you get involved in leading?
Yeah, it's a great story. I'm sure again, some of the listeners probably watched on Sunday nights for the last month and a half. They watched The Last Dance with another guy that was really passionate about sports out of the state of North Carolina. But my story is not quite as world renowned as MJ's, but it is a really fascinating story of how God just kind of takes initiative and uses it to open doors. So I was this was 15 years ago, serving as a student pastor in St. Cloud, and traveling pretty extensively across the country, speaking at events, camps, conferences, retreats, etc. But more and more, just like I'm talking to you right now, more and more when I was home, I was just kind of feeling this nudge to serve out at UCF. And so the then functioning FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, chapter on the campus, they invited me to come and speak for the month of February. I think the meetings were on Thursday nights, if I recall. It was either Tuesday or Thursday, but that's neither here nor there. But they invited me to come and speak on four consecutive Thursdays about relationships. And so I come and I share, and I graduated from UCF in 2000 with a degree in interpersonal communication, very passionate about UCF. And so I came and spoke the first week, and it was very well received, and then came back the next week. And after the second week, the president, the then president, student president of FCA chapter at UCF, this guy named Jimmy Skiles, who was really funny, is now my boss. And I'll tell you what that means here in just a second. He's now my boss in the athletics department at UCF. This is, he was the student president, for FCA. And he was also the sports marketing, intern for men's basketball. And he came up to me, after the second week, and he said, Mr. Evans, you're very passionate about UCF. You're very comfortable on a microphone, and I would never have to be concerned about you inadvertently cursing in front of thousands and thousands of people. Would you be interested in being our sports MC / hype guy next season for UCF men's basketball? Mm. And I said, let me pray about it. Yes. The answer is yes, absolutely. I instantly had a peace from the Lord to pursue that. And so if any of your listeners have been to UCF sporting event, men's basketball, in particular the last couple of years, men's basketball or football, I'm down on the field, I'm on the court, I'm on the microphone, we're playing some games, we're having fun with the crowd, we're throwing out shirts, and I'm that guy. And all of that started from speaking at an FCA meeting on campus. And then, Mike, if I can just, I don't know how long this segment needs to be, but it really is a fascinating story.
You so got time, go for
just,
it.
If you'll allow me just a little. So I start the next season with men's basketball, kind of having a blast, throwing out shirts and introducing halftime entertainment and all that kind of stuff. And then they asked me if I would, hey, would you be interested in being the public address announcer for the softball team? So it goes from the sports MC guy, like the hype guy on the microphone. Hey, get up, get on your feet. If you make some noise, if you want a t-shirt, that guy to being up in the press box. Now batting for the Knights, number two, Mike Gillen. And so, yeah. So here's what's really cool is I'm up in the press box before the first softball game that I'm going to announce. And I look down the left field line and I see that the team is assembling down there and they all take a knee and pray. And, you know, just as a man of faith, I thought, man, it's really cool that these student athletes are going to do this before they take the field at a state supported public university. You know, right here before God and everybody. And so after the game, I went down and grabbed, you know, one of the players that it looked like from a distance had kind of corralled them to pray. And said, hey, man, I don't want to tell you that I saw you ladies praying before the game. I think that was really awesome. And she said, wait, do you love the Lord? And I was like, well, as a matter of fact, I do. And she was like, hey, tomorrow. So they play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. She said, tomorrow, why don't you come and you can come and pray with us in the circle before the game. And I was like, man, that's cool. And so the next day I show up and her name is Mary Helen. And she kind of introduced me to all the girls. Hey, this is John. He was up in the press box. He's going to be announcing our games, but he's a man of faith and he just wanted to come and pray with us. So I prayed. And then after that prayer, she said, hey, tomorrow, why don't you lead the prayer? And so I was like, man, this really escalated like super quickly. It's almost like God knows what he's doing. And so,
Do you think?
I know it's crazy. So I started serving kind of as a spiritual support to that program. Renee Lewis Gillespie was our then head coach, just a precious woman of faith, and then a couple guys on the baseball team. And again, this was at this point, this was like 14 years ago. A couple guys on the baseball team. They were like, hey man, we'd love to do like a Bible study. Would you be interested in kind of helping us with that? And so kind of low key, you know, every week, 8 to 10 guys just kind of their own assembling. And I would come and just kind of and then next thing you know, same thing's happening with soccer and men's and women's soccer and football. And really within the span of 6 to 8 months, purely as a volunteer, I became the de facto chaplain for the athletics department. Again, a state supported university, not a staff role, but very much a role that's seen as something valuable to the students and athletes and, you know, to the coaches and their respective staffs. And then, man, at this point, little over 7 years ago, 7 years ago in January, Wave Robinson, our Central Florida FCA director. He's the regional director for Fellowship Christian Athletes across Eastern Central Florida. He approached me and said, "Hey, John, you, man, you've been serving out at UCF for half a decade now, really doing sports ministry. I wonder if you might partner with FCA and kind of come under our umbrella." And FCA, I'm sure many of your listeners are long familiar with just the history, middle schools, high schools, camps across the country in the summer, and then collegiate presence as well. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I just thought, man, what a great fit, and we jumped on board, and really has helped us, from a support raising standpoint. Just like your listeners would probably have a missionary come in and report on his or her efforts in China or Honduras. It just so happens that my family and I are missionaries to the University of Central Florida. And so we raise 100% of our operational budget through the faithful giving of people. And it's just been a privilege to serve Knights Nation. People see me at the games and they think, "Hey, man, this guy's having a blast." And I am having a blast doing the MC and the public address stuff. But really, I tell people God's given me a voice, a literal voice on that campus, so that his voice and his word really can be celebrated behind the scenes. And that's what it boils down to.
There's an old saying that I used to hear that says, "A gift will make room for itself." And that is exactly what happened to you. You are a gift, yep, my man. And God just used you, and the gifting made room for itself and found its way doing all of the things you're doing.
Amen.
I love it. I'm talking about John Evans, and he is with FCA as well as Action Church. We're going to hear that part of his story coming up in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Having a great time on my chat today with John Evans. John is with FCA at UCF and is also a pastor. Tell me about you meeting your wife, and did you guys ever dream that you'd be doing what you're doing in the days that you were dating?
Oh my goodness. So it's funny, just a couple days ago we were sitting on the back porch, and I said, her name is Catherine. I was like, "Babe, man, like if we're sitting here, a little over two decades ago, writing the script, I don't think either one of us would have anticipated how, and just how gracious and generous God would have been with us in terms of allowing us to be used." We met, let's see, it would have been 1995. I moved from my hometown up in North Carolina, Burlington, North Carolina, loaded up everything that I owned in a Carolina Blue 1988 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra.
There you go.
And, it was not cool at all.
a land yacht.
Yes, it was a boat, and so loaded up everything I owned. I really moved down to Orlando to pursue a career in acting, which is interesting. Did a stage show at Universal for a year. I was in a mini series on HBO that filmed here locally called Earth to the Moon, produced by Tom Hanks. I did some local commercial stuff, and then some stand-up comedy.
I did not know any of this.
Yeah. And in the context of all of that, I got involved with an improvisational comedy group at that time called Crazy Improv. And we would go to youth camps, conferences, retreats. And there were five guys on the team, four guys and one lady. And we would do, just like you do, improv, take requests or suggestions from the audience. And we would do an hour and 15 minutes of improv comedy, and then the last 15 minutes one of the guys or the lady would share our story and give people an opportunity to respond. And in that, God said, "Hey, man, if I have given you any ability to engage an audience, you want to be an actor and you want to be famous, and when you die that will have been pointless. However, if," and again, I grant you that it's a big if, "but if I have given you that ability to engage an audience, I want to take that skill and use it to God saying, I want to use it to make myself known instead of you, John." And so That's when the light switch went on. Catherine and I met. So I moved to Orlando, and, you know, kind of backed the truck up a little bit, moved to Orlando and visited First Baptist Church of Orlando. I'm sure some of your listeners are at First Orlando, just such a well-respected church, and was there with Jim Henry was the pastor in 1995, and walked into a Wednesday night singles service, about, I don't know, like 700, you know, 20 somethings in the room. And just so happened that I looked over and here was this lovely, lovely young lady named Catherine. And I walked over to her and I said, groovy shirt. That was the first. And Mike, your response is the same response that most every male gives me when I say groovy shirt. And they're like, bro, can't you do better than that? And I was like, hey, 23 years of marriage and five kids, man, it worked. I don't know.
It worked out wonderfully.
It worked out wonderfully. So
the difference is, John, I'm old enough to have said that phrase when it was stylish and when it was groovy to say it.
Yeah, I was using it kind of as a retro piece.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so Catherine and I met in 1995, and then February the 15th, 1997. Man, she took the greatest risk. My wife is very calculated. She's in X's and O's. She kind of evaluates, you know, the return on investment and what's the chance that she's taking. And she took the greatest risk ever when she walked down the aisle and she said yes to my question. And man, 23 years of really just kind of trying to love God, love each other, and make him known. And man, he's been so faithful.
That's such a great story. I had no idea. Now, do you ever do any of the improv still to
this
day?
Really, what's really funny is so when I'm speaking, and again, whether it's FCA at UCF or in and through ministry with Action Church or I do still, my schedule is absolutely absurd, but I do still have the opportunity to book engagements here and there, traveling across the country to speak. It's funny how often I try to use humor on the front side to really kind of break the walls down a little bit and then give me an opportunity to share scripture and share truth. And so it's funny how often someone will come up to me and say, "Hey man, you're hilarious. Like you should be a stand-up comedian. You missed your calling." And they're being respectful and they're really kind of being honoring, but I'm like, you know, I actually feel like I'm right in the middle of my calling now that you mention it. I don't get to do a whole lot of that stuff, but we do, you know, internally with things here at the church, if I can help with production stuff that we're shooting, or if I can help train up some of our presenters, I'm thrilled to do that for sure.
You know, I was down at the parks one year, several years ago, and we had a big yearly at Christmas time, a big party that was so much fun, and we had members. But I was down by the parks, and I'd seen a troupe of improv people that were just so gifted, and they had this skit that was like a human computer, and they had two guys with their heads stuck out of the computer, and I thought, this is a killer idea for our party. And I thought everyone in the world would enjoy it the same way. And the two guys that first agreed to do it, I think, had not really waited out. And and there were moments that I felt so sorry that I'd put them through that. You have to really be out there. You have to be quick. You have to be confident. And I've learned that not everyone is comfortable doing improv the way it sounds like you are.
Yeah, it's definitely there's a personality piece, there's a wiring piece to it, but then it also is a cultivated skill for sure.
Well, I tell you, that's funny when you see it happening, and when it's firing on all cylinders, it really is humorous. Tell me how you and Catherine took the call. How did that come to go into ministry at a church now?
Yep. So, so I was, as I alluded to in my personal story earlier, I was a 20-year-old college dropout when I met the Lord, January 23rd, 1994, moved to Orlando in 95, and then Catherine and I married in 97, and I was working as a valet and doing some production stuff, serving in serving as a volunteer adult leader in student ministry at First Orlando at the time. And I was approached by a gentleman that was a mentor in our lives. He and his wife were just kind of showing Catherine and I through, they called it Sunday school back then. Mike, do you remember Sunday school?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All the cool people remember Sunday school. So even as a 25-year-old married couple, we were in Sunday school, and this couple that was leading the class, they said, "Hey, I want to challenge you." The husband said, "If you went back to school full time, how long would it take?" And I said, "You know, with transfer credits, et cetera, went back to school full time, it would probably take 2 years." And he said, "I'm not good at math, but 2 years from now, you could either be 2 years older with a college degree or 2 years older without a college degree. Which would you prefer?" And I said, "Well, if you put it that way, college degree for sure." And he said, "Man, I want to support that." And so he put my name in for a scholarship, and it was awarded. And so that started us at UCF, and graduated from UCF. And surely, again, as I'm talking to you right now, just felt this sense that God wanted to use me to be a voice in the lives of primarily young people, students, to be a voice in the lives of students that I wish I had when I was a student myself. And so I started serving at First Baptist Orlando a little more extensively in student ministry. And then out of there, we were called to First Baptist of St. Cloud, moved down there. And that was my first student ministry position. And I tell you what, people ask me all the time, how do you decipher a call on your life? How do you? And what I tell them is, if you can do anything else, if you can work at the YMCA, if you can be a plumber, if you can, if you can sell shoes, if you can do anything else and be satisfied, then do anything else and be satisfied. But if you can't be satisfied and fulfilled in anything other than expressing a vocational call to ministry, then don't try and fight it off. And so we absolutely embraced it, and God has just been so faithful. And in and through our role serving at UCF with FCA, in turn, God has really opened the door for our family to join staff at Action Church, where I serve as the family pastor. So everything from premarital counseling for young couples that are heading toward their respective wedding date, through ministry to young families with small kids, elementary school, even preschool, up through high school students, middle school and high school, and then college students too. We just get to champion and encourage the expression of ministry to families across our four locations of Action Church. And man, what an absolute blast. It's so much fun.
You know, I've talked to so many people over the years who grew up like you did, in a single home, whose parent, be it the mom as it was with you, or the dad, if it were growing up in a home with just the dad, and they did well, but would have fought through maybe more difficulties than many do with actually marriage or
yep.
parenting or anything else. Yet in your story, you grew up that way. That was your background, but it does not seem to have hindered you in one little iota. To what do you attribute that?
So if I could just be super straightforward with your listeners, I mean, and it's probably been clear as they've been listening, I'm not super intelligent, but I understand the value, Mike, of obedience. And so not growing up in a Christian home, not having extensive training in faith before I walked the aisle to respond to faith myself, really what has served me exceedingly and abundantly well is I've just looked at what does Scripture say? And then I've tried to walk that out, and it's crazy how it works. Like, it's crazy how it all makes sense. And so
basically, you believe what the Word says.
Yeah, I know. I know that that's like shocking and
that's
and
great.
Cutting
I love
edge.
It.
Like, it's cutting edge type technology, but as it relates to relationships, as it relates to healing, as it relates to self-worth, as it relates to finances. I just said, hey, if what does scripture say? Okay, well, we're going to track with that. And God's been faithful. Now, that does not mean by any stretch of the imagination that there haven't been challenges and hurdles. And that's just the world that we live in this physical realm. But if any of our listeners are either children, even potentially adult children of single parent homes, or if we've got some single moms or some single dads that are listening right now, do not believe for one second that God can't do anything and everything that He wants to do in and through you and your home, just because your life looks a little bit different than some other people's lives would.
For a child that grew up in a home like that, that might be fighting bitterness, what advice would you give them?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that when I've traveled and spoken, and I often talk about a wound, talk about the void of having a physical father. Now, I want to state this very clearly. I've got a great relationship with my dad now, and really a lot of that has to do with me as an adult and becoming a man of faith. It has to do with me pursuing the relationship with my dad. But for a 15-year-old girl, or for an 8-year-old boy, or all spots in between where mom or dad are not part of the picture, really what the advice that I have given those individuals, and it's been hundreds and hundreds that have cried with me and we've prayed together, the conversation really is that forgiveness is a choice. You may have a dad that has hurt you deeply and would never take responsibility for that, but God's grace is sufficient. And Scripture tells us to honor your father and mother. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they have earned it. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if you think they're worth it. It says honor your father and mother if you want to live a long and blessed mm-hmm. life. And if I ask people, 100% of them would say, I would, yes, sign me up for a long and blessed life. But a lot of people also on the flip side of that will simultaneously withhold grace and forgiveness in the deepest wounds that come from those that knew us first. And I just decided a long time ago that I was going to release my dad of that. And it's honestly served me incredibly well. Praise God.
It certainly has. And you sound like you have not only gotten through that, but you have excelled in such a way that there's just not even a vestige of it. I would not have known that you told me, unless you told me that would have been your background, because you do so well, and your kids, you've led them so well, and that's really, again, such a testimony to the grace of God in your life. In our remaining time, we've got a few minutes left here. Tell me how and what you're seeing the pathway looking like in front of you post COVID-19, as we're kind of opening back up here in Central Florida again. What are you seeing happen out at the UCF campus?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. It's really interesting. It's one thing, for the last couple of months, it's one thing on a Sunday to not be able to get Chick-fil-A. It's another thing to not be able to go to Chick-fil-A like any day of the week. Like, that's like, how do you process that? And so as things begin opening up, in fact, just a few minutes ago, prior to us getting on air together, I had a lunch meeting out over by campus. And so the school and really institutions all the way down to elementary schools, we have a responsibility to protect students and to protect staff and faculty, et cetera. And so you have to be responsible with that. But I think the desire and the initiative to really start to see life come back to campus, that's being ignited even now. What's funny, over the course of the summer when we live in Oviedo, over the course of the summer, when students tend to kind of disperse from campus, people around there, some people I'm probably sure celebrate that. my family and I, because we love UCF and we love college students so much, we kind of get bummed out. And so when you go to Walmart and when you go to Publix and the stores are packed again because the students are back, they're like, man, life is here again. And so we're super excited. I feel fairly confident. I don't have any firsthand knowledge that, wink, wink, I am passing along to your listeners right now. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we're moving in a really positive direction in terms of getting back to a certain sense of normalcy. And again, normalcy has been redefined over the last 10 weeks. But really looking forward to the days ahead for UCF and UCF athletics. Our goal in and through UCF FCA is to see that that it would be an athletics department after God's own heart. And people ask me all the time, what do you attribute? I work with respective, I'll just use the football program as an example. And there's been a significant amount of national success that UCF football has experienced over the last couple of years. And people, hey, what do you attribute that success to? Is it coaches? Mm-hmm. And sure, that has significant value. Is it the players and their skills? Sure, that has significant value. Is it the schemes and the training and the programming? Sure, that has significant value. But I always respectfully but unapologetically point to the faith base that exists. Let's not write off the full package. And those guys in that locker room, just like the girls in the volleyball locker room or softball or soccer or baseball or track or swimming and diet, like just anything and everything. When you want to honor God with who you are, when you love God and you love each other, it absolutely translates on the playing surface. And so, just maybe as a sign off to our listeners, whatever your sphere of influence is, be tactful, but be intentional. God wants to be honored in and through your daily interactions, and don't discount what he wants to do in and through you.
That's wonderful advice from John Evans. And John, do you have that website for Action Church?
Yeah, theactionchurch.com.
Actionchurch.com. And John's part of the Oviedo campus. Go out and visit John and say hello to him and get to know this great guy who's doing a marvelous work on the campus of UCF. And really, everywhere I see this guy going, he's touching people's lives. John, thank you for being with me on my program.
Absolute privilege, Mike. Thank you.
All right. God bless you. And friends, thanks for being with me here on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.